Amen. Children's Church, you're going to just stay with us today, I think. Man, they just about were out of here before I got that all out. Amen. We've been waiting for a while for this moment. And so, Brother Thomas, all the way from Warri, Nigeria. Come on. Come on. Bless you, brother.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. God is good. I didn't know Pastor Shane can sing. Yeah, because I was just watching. I said, oh, yeah, he can sing too. I wish I could do that. How are you guys doing? This morning, by the grace of God, I want to thank you for all that you do in supporting what we are doing. Thank you, Pastor Shane and Tammy, for being behind what we are doing. Your words of encouragement have helped us in many ways. The building you saw is a building that will seat 1,000 people. And we started it in August last year. It was like after they dug the hole, it's like, God, what have I put myself into? And he said to me, it will finish in record time. And I thank God, I believe God that before the next August, the roof will be in, and then I think all the things will start rounding up. And that is God's grace. How he's doing it, this is one of the buildings I've built. I've built several churches and several projects, but this is one thing I've built, and I just find myself relaxed in God's hand. Thank you very much, because all you do, all your prayers, is working on our behalf. We thank you. Project Hope is doing well. We just graduated 35, and we believe God that God will bring more people next year, because we're just reaching out to different kind of levels of people. Every day, every hour, God opened my eyes to see areas that is needed to take the gospel into. We just finished a medical outreach, which was my first medical outreach, and I was surprised at the way, the effectiveness, the way it touches the life of people. So I found a new way of evangelizing, bringing all the villages together and getting them to hear God's word. Thank you for your prayers, because without prayers, we can't do all this. If you know what my country is that you come to church, you are relaxed, you are fine. There are some places in my country that you go to church, you never know if you come back. You read it in the news, it's not fake, it's true. Anywhere within the northern part of it, especially three states, called Kaduna State, Zamfara State, Benue State, and Plateau State. These are states that are very, very vulnerable, because they try to take Islamic, you know, control of that area. But God has kept them despite all the killings and everything that is going on. When the government of this country came, you know, threw some bomb into the areas where they are concentrated, they dispersed, some of them dispersed, and then filtered into the south. The trouble they cause in the south now is to kidnap people, take ransom, to sponsor what they are doing up there. But God is protecting us. But one good news is this. Despite all this, the gospel is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Because the Bible said the gate of hell will not prevail against. He wasn't saying it that the church is on defensive. He was saying the church is on defensive. That when we are going, the enemy cannot stand our move. So keep those prayers coming. Praise the Lord. This morning, I'm going to share with you some of the things God have put in our heart this year to pursue. Every year, I go to God and ask him, what do you want me to do this year? What is the area of my emphasis for this year? And that is supernatural advancement in a time like this. in a time where it looked like everything is falling and people are going down and churches are quitting. There are many places that church is running away, and then it looked like everything is failing. But how can we advance despite all the oppression, all the persecution? How do we advance the kingdom of God at a time like this? The world is getting farther and farther away from God. People are forgetting about who God is. How will you be able to convince someone who have had breakthrough in science, who have gone out of this atmosphere into another atmosphere and stay where nobody has ever gone? How can you convince that person with just ordinary thing? There must be supernatural power of God that can bring that person to a point that God made all these things. How do we do that? So today we are going to actually look at this, but I'm going to take my topic or my test from 3 John. 3 John verse 2. Very strong and holistic scripture. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou be in the prosper in everything and be in health, even as your soul prospers. You know, whenever we do this, people just focus their mind on the success. This scripture is not about prosperity, it's not about success. It means something deeper than that. It is about thriving in the fullest sense of peace, of purpose, of health, and stability. That's what it means. It means that God wants you to be whole. Spirit, soul, and body. It means that you'll be able to thrive and allow the presence of God to flow through your life, and people will see the goodness of God in your life. Because alignment, spiritual alignment matters. If you have everything and you don't have Christ, you are poor. So God wants us to have everything and have Christ in our life. So if your inner life, when your inner life, your faith, your values, and your character, when they are healthy, it shapes everything that you do and everything that you say. If your inner person become aligned with God's will and God's purposes, it shapes everything. It shapes the way you think, the way you react, the way you say something. It shapes everything. So if you look at it, the gap we have is that is where God wants us to be, at the top. Because every day in our life, we should be able to develop. The kind of phone you are using today is not what you used 10 years ago. I remember when the first, cellular phone came. It was a big thing you carry and put in your trunk. I remember when the phone was something you ring like this, you wind it. It come to a point where you have to turn it this way, and it keep going until it become button. Now you don't even know that. You just talk to Siri, or what you call it, and you say, call me this number, and it will call the number. They are not stopping. They are developing every day. The world is not at a standstill. And we were asked to go and minister to the world that is moving so fast with the old thing that we have, with the salvation we have, but we are not going deeper into knowing what God wants to do with our lives. I spoke with the men about building spiritual capacity. You see, if we do not understand that we have a goal, every year in your life, you grow. But Christianity is like you just come to Christ and you become a Christian, sing hallelujah and wait to die. There are things that we need to do to change the situation around us. The people who we are ministering to are not standing still. They are moving. So the Bible says when you give your life to Christ, you come into the door, you go in and out and find pasture. But we come into the door and stand at the door, and we're not going in and out of it to find pasture. So this morning I'll ask a few questions. Is it possible to see God move in the way we saw it in the Bible? In our days, is it possible to see the power of God move like it was in the Old Testament, in the New Testament? Is it possible to see it today? Is it possible for God to speak and lead people the way he did in the past, that we read in the Bible and we can see it, experience it today? Is it possible? Is it possible to advance spiritually, looking at all the things that is happening around us, beyond AI, beyond computer, beyond all the things that we look at today and see that this is what actually the world hang on? Is it possible? I believe it is. And if it is, how do we get there? How do we do that? The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, as his divine power had given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who have called us to glory and virtue. God gave us everything that pertained to life and to godliness. Everything. Not some. He gave it to us that we might be able to advance the kingdom. The Bible says he blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. In other words, for me to be able to advance spiritually and supernaturally, I must learn to do one thing: walk with God. That's number one. To walk with God. If you put on that slide, number two, right? Number one, walk with God. You cannot walk with God and make mistake. Walking with God means that you are intentionally creating yourself, putting yourself, making it available to God. There's something I put on my Facebook this morning, and that is, God cannot use you beyond your availability. When I walk with God, I am walking with him because I know he knows the way. I know he's the one that will guide me. I know that he knows what to do. So when I walk with God, I'm walking with God because I want him to take me to where he wants me to go. I want him to do what he says I should do. Genesis chapter 17 verse 1 says this. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. Walk before me and be blameless. The key to advancing spirit supernaturally is ability to walk with God. And to walk with God means to intentionally develop intimacy with God in such a way that requires you to fully devote yourself to God himself. You know, to fully devote yourself to God is an intentional thing. It's a decision you take. It's a choice. Devote yourself to his word. Books are good, but the book is what God wants to use to grow you. Saturate your life with God's word. You have spiritual understanding of who you are, of what you have, of who is with you. Because many of us don't know that God is with us. He's with us every time, anywhere we go, he's with us. But the problem is that sometimes we have problems and we don't know exactly what to do. And we find out that we think God has gone away from us. Intentionally yield yourself to the leading of the Holy Spirit. That is what makes the difference. When you do that, God will begin to speak to you. You begin to learn from God. Psalm says this. Psalm 15, 1 to 2 says, Lord, who may abide before you? Who is it? That question is something that takes us to the second step we take. The second step we take is walk righteously If I'm walking with God, I walk righteously. I walk with intention to please God, with intention to lift his name up, with intention to live in compliance with his word. That is what makes the difference in everything we do. That is what gives us the leverage over everything around us. Because we intentionally are making our choices because God is involved. It means living with a life of integrity. A life that is self-controlled, a life that is pleasing to God, a life that God will look at supernaturally and sustain you. Hallelujah. Let me say this to us. If you look at the way the world is today, you will discover that all we need is to actually see God as our Father. Our Father that we need to follow every day, every hour. We need to listen to every day. Number three is walk in faith and courage. Everything we do is by faith. And we don't have anywhere we can actually turn around without the faith of God. Faith opens the door, but courage helps you walk through it. So every time you are walking with God, you are walking in faith and in courage. And the Lord will continue to open the door for you. Amen? Amen? Look at what the Bible says. For a great and effectual door has been opened, but many are the adversaries. Adversaries are those who are sworn enemies that want to destroy your life, that want to put you out of business. But when you follow God, when you listen to him, when you walk with him, and when you are courageous enough to stand and say, God, I must serve you no matter what, you will find out your life will be different. Hallelujah. I like this. Number four is this. You walk in humility and in the fear of God. In the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Look at what the scripture says here. It said, Proverbs chapter 22 verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Don't forget our test. Our test says, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health and be in good, your spiritual life will progress. But this is confirming that scripture. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. In other words, humility is when you allow God to be exalted in your life. You allow God to be the God who takes everything, all the glory. In other words, is lifted above your ego. You know what an ego is? Edging God out. E-G-O, edging God out. So many times in our life, we put God away. You don't do it. You just do it little by little. And then before you know it, God is out of the picture. We should know that God expects you and I to allow him to allow his glory to shine from our life. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongs days. But the years of the wicked are shortened. If I live in the fear of God, I'm walking with God, I'm walking righteously, I'm walking in faith and courage, and I'm walking in humility, God will lift me from where I am to where he wants me to be. That is when you begin to experience God in a very new way. Humility is when you intentionally put God's interest above yours. Intentionally. Deuteronomy chapter 10 verse 12 says, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to love him, and to serve him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. That's what it requires. Nothing else. If we do that, our lives will become different. The people we minister to will see the freshness from our lives. They will see the glory of God from our lives. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23 says, "The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it abides in satisfaction and will not be visited with evil." The fear of the Lord abides in our life, makes us live longer, and give us the edge over our enemies. So we cannot progress, you know, further than what we see. Walking in God's way, letting Him direct us, walking in His grace, walking in His favor, in His word, and then allow the Holy Spirit to lead you on a daily basis. That will change everything about your life. And the last we see here is that Jesus will be on top waiting for us, because we are people who have accepted Him and allow Him to walk in our lives. Amen? So this morning I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to ask God for something in our spirit. Reveal Himself to us in such a way that make a difference. I'm going to ask the Lord to do a work in our spirit so that we can aspire to lead higher in the realm of the spirits. Because if we're not sensitive to the Spirit of God, we will not be able to do what God has called us to do. This evening, I'll be talking about using common sense. Using common sense. So I will invite you. But this moment, I want you, if you actually want to advance into the supernatural realm of God, there's a call to give God your time. Give God your heart. Give God your spirit. And things will be different. Amen? So I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to ask us to bow our head in prayers and ask God for something. I'm going to ask God for grace to lead us and guide us and protect us. Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this moment. I thank you for this hour. I thank you for who you are, what you are. Lord, I pray for everyone here, asking you, Lord, our Father, to reveal yourself in a very powerful way, that our spiritual life will become something that the world will see, and see your glory, and see your power, and see your grace. Dear Lord, I call upon you that this day your presence will be upon our lives. Lead us in your way. Lead us the way you want us to go. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Wow. Challenge. Challenge accepted. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your servant. And I thank you, Lord, for the challenges that you bring. I pray, Lord, tonight that you would bring us back, not just a handful, but Lord, bring us all back. God, to be challenged again, to be inspired again, to be motivated again. Lord, that at the end of the day, Lord, we would do what you've called us to do and be who you've called us to be. Maybe you're here today and this all may seem strange to you and you don't understand maybe everything that's been said this morning, and maybe you don't even know who Jesus is. The Bible says He's the way and the truth and the life. The Bible says that He's the Lamb of God. The Bible says He's your Redeemer. And today, if you want to know Him as Lord and Savior, it's very simple. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, today is your day. Maybe you feel like I've been too bad. You haven't been too bad. You haven't been too bad. You haven't strayed too far. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, the good, the bad, and the ugly. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you and I, we're whosoever, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. So today, with heads bowed and eyes closed, people are praying. If that's you today and you say, Preacher, I need Jesus in my life, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up. I want to pray with you. Anybody at all, say, Preacher, that's me. I want Jesus in my life. If you have a need in your body physically and you need prayer, I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat and come to the front. Let our prayer team minister to you guys. Anoint you with oil and believe. Pray the prayer of faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Father, there is a multitude of needs in this altar. Lord, there is a multitude of people watching by way of the internet today, people that are not here today because of illness, because of physical ailments. But Lord, your word still says, by your stripes we're healed, and so today we claim that. Today we pray for complete divine and total healing in life. I pray for Carolyn, I pray for her sister, and I pray for this another family member that has just been diagnosed with pancreas cancer. God, we stand in direct opposition. We stand on your word that says, by your stripes we're healed. Lord, there are babies that are about to be born into this world, and I pray for easy deliveries. I pray, God, for healthy moms and healthy babies as they come forth. I thank you for lives that are being transformed. There are people that have, we like Jeff, that's just come through a traumatic brain surgery, Lord, and yet 6 days out and he's in church this morning. And God, we're grateful for what you're doing there. Lord, complete the healing. Lord, we lift Anthony to you today. Pray that you would touch him. We lift Judy to you this morning. God, ask you to heal her. Lord, we're mindful of little Mary. God, we lift Mary to you. We know she'd love to be here. God, I pray you wrap her in your arms. Love on her today. God, I pray again now that you'd bring us back to this place tonight to hear once again of your goodness, of your grace, and of your mercy. Father, we thank you. Go with us today as we leave this place. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. God go with you. Have a great rest of your day. Amen. We'll see you tonight at 6:00.